More than a year since they made history by ending Hosni Mubarak's autocratic rule, Egyptians are to go to the polls to elect a president. But the candidacy of Mubarak's spy chief and vice president has cast a dark shadow on the bright steps leading to democracy. I'm Homa Lezgi, and this is another edition of News Analysis.
The country is to witness its first presidential election after the overthrow of former ruler Hosni Mubarak. In the last minutes before the deadline for nominations, former spy chief Omar Suleiman officially entered the race, a move that sent shockwaves through Egypt. The Brotherhood was quick to denounce it. The party's major candidate, Khairat al-Shatir, described Suleiman's bid for power as an insult to the popular revolution. Al-Shatir warned that Suleiman will only win through forgery, and if it happens, a second revolution will take place.
This is an attempt to steal the revolution. If this happens, or in case of any forgery, me and others will take to the street, because we all as Egyptians have made sacrifices, and blood was shed in the name of the revolution, not to reproduce the old regime.
Suleiman, who also served as vice president under Mubarak, hit back by saying that the Brotherhood has lost popularity. He accused the group of practicing monopolistic policies. Suleiman, who was the former regime spy chief for almost two decades, insists that his candidacy would restore stability in the country. However, analysts don't think he has any chance of winning the polls, as he has long been viewed as the mastermind of Mubarak's autocratic rule.
I don't think anyway that he has any chance to prevail, and besides prevailing, he has even no chance to receive, let's say, some reward or content for this candidacy.
In fact, there are words that Suleiman's candidacy was triggered by the U.S. and Israel, as they are uncomfortable with political approaches adopted by the Muslim Brotherhood.
I think that this created kind of discomfort in the United States, in Washington, but also in many European countries. And probably this is the source of which triggered the candidacy of Omar Suleiman.
Now, with Suleiman in the race, there are rising doubts among people that the military rulers in the country are determined to undermine their revolution. Activists say Suleiman's nomination has uncovered the biggest farce to create the illusion that power will be handed over to a civilian government through elections. A group of activists who call themselves the National Front for Justice and Democracy have called for a conference Monday to consider boycotting the polls. They say Suleiman's presidency will result in nothing but reproduction of Mubarak's regime.
Well, joining me now live from London is Muslim Brotherhood representative in the UK, Mr. Mohammed Ghanem. Thanks for joining us, sir. I'd also like to introduce Mr. Jamal Wakim with the Lebanese International University, who's with us live from Beirut. And also with us on the line from London is a Middle East consultant, Mr. Peter Eyre. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on this news analysis. I'll put my first question to our guest in Beirut, Professor Wakim. Omar Suleiman has said, and I'm quoting him, "If I was intelligence chief and then vice president for a few days, that doesn't mean I was part of a regime against which the people mounted a revolt." Now, he was Mubarak's intelligence chief for almost 20 years. He was responsible at least partially for the regime's crackdown on Egyptians during that last two decades of Hosni Mubarak's dictatorial rule. So, Mr. Wakim, what has happened that a notorious former figure like Suleiman runs for president?
Well, this is a retaliation by the military council to face the challenge posed by the Muslim Brothers when they pushed Mr. Khairat al-Shatir to run for the presidency, because there was a tacit agreement, or the military council thought that there was a tacit agreement sponsored by the Americans for the Muslim Brothers not to to have their own candidate for the presidency. But the Muslim Brothers decided to support the candidacy of their vice chairman, Mr. Khairat al-Shatir, which was considered as an attempt by the Muslim Brothers. It was considered by the military council that the Muslim Brothers are taking trying to take over power. So that's why in the beginning, Amru Musa was supposed to be a compromise candidate between the military council and the Muslim Brothers. Now that the Muslim Brothers had their own candidate, Khairat Shelter. So that's why the military council decided to bring a radical, let's say, candidate of their own, Omar Sulaiman, in order to step up the challenge.
Right. Well, let's speak to Mr. Ghanem about this as a Muslim Brotherhood representative who's with us from London. Mr. Ghanem, first of all, why did the Muslim Brotherhood decide to announce a candidate in the elections when it had been saying before that it's not going to take part in the polls and it's not going to try and step into the political power scene?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When the Muslim Brotherhood decided before that they're not going to have a candidate for presidency, that was according to the political atmosphere and the political factor at the time. But as the political scene has changed, Muslim Brotherhood felt it is adequate now and a requirement to push on, to put forward their own candidate. There is some factors been announced, especially when the parliament cannot withdraw the authority from the government and the military council insist not to give them that right. They felt as they are hanging on the air. Then that dictate there must be, or they should have, some candidate for their own to the presidency. But regarding Omar Sulaiman, which you've been asking later, we knew, even before the revolution, there was some attempt to push Omar Sulaiman to be a candidate for presidency.
Well, Mr. Ghanem, if I could just jump in here, if I may. Some observers have been saying on the case of Omar Sulaiman that up until now, the courts haven't charged him of committing any offence. Therefore, why shouldn't he be allowed to run? What's your response to that?
Well, this is the issue. I think Omar Sulaiman is clever enough to know he will never win. So the military council, because he is a contradictory to the revolution, and he is dangerous to the revolution and Egyptian people. But I think he made that attempt to give him a protection for anybody to try to put him in front of the court for the maybe a crime he has committed during the La Mubarak regime. It's a protection attempt or a step rather than a real forward to have a presidency position.
Right, and let's put this question also to our guest who is joining us on the line from London, Peter Eyre. Peter, a lot of analysts agree that Sulaiman's decision to run at this juncture was wrong, that he should have known that he's not going to get votes. But why do you think he made this move, and what forces, people or groups persuaded him to do so, if indeed there were forces involved?
Well, I think the first thing that is apparent is that you've got this dominance from the US that are controlling the key players to put a regime in power that's going to complement them. Also, as far as elections in the Middle East are concerned, this is probably the most important, because at stake here is the border between Egypt and Gaza, and so obviously Israel and America are pulling the cards here, and they're prepared to pump in an awful lot of money, militarily and commercially, to their puppets, and Sulaiman would be one of them. I personally feel that no one from the Mubarak regime should be running at the current time, and if I am right in saying so, the Muslim Brotherhood has got quite a significant lead. And obviously, from the American-Israeli perspective, they're rather concerned, because this will open up the border between Egypt and Gaza, and we know what is likely to result from that. Personally, I believe that democracy should prevail, and if the Brotherhood is in the lead, then so be it.
Professor Wakim, I'd like to have your opinion on this as well. What do you think is behind Soleiman's decision to run for president? Is it, as some have been saying, part of a broader anti-revolutionary plan, a trend rather to counter revolutions in the Arab world, they're saying, including what's happened in Yemen, what's happening in Bahrain? How do you see it?
Well, if we want to compare the situation to Yemen, the revolution in Yemen was over with the election of the vice president, who is now president, and he was the sole candidate in the elections. There was an attempt by the Americans to sponsor a deal between the military council in Egypt, between the military council and the Muslim Brothers, where the Muslim Brothers would not have their own candidate and Amr Musa would be elected as president. But when the Muslim Brothers decided to have their own candidate, Khairat Shatir, this is when the military council decided to retaliate by having or by pushing Omar Sulaiman to run for the elections, maybe in an attempt to convince the Muslim Brothers to withdraw their candidate on one hand, then Omar Sulaiman will be withdrawn and Amr Musa will be elected as President of Republic. I believe that the Muslim Brothers might be, or there are some analysis that the Muslim Brothers are stepping up their challenge in order to guarantee the position of Prime Minister, at least, for one of their own. So we need to wait and see what would be the outcome.
Mr. Ghanem, so let's just refer to what was said by the Brotherhood's candidate for next month's polls, Mr. Khairat Al-Shatir. I'm quoting him. He said that Soleiman's candidacy is an attempt to steal the revolution. When he does say that, who wants to steal this revolution and who do you think will benefit from stealing the revolution, in his words?
Well, regardless who does that, but having Omar Sulaiman as a candidate for the presidency is a complete contradiction to the concept of revolution. And as I repeat again, because this is very important, Omar Sulaiman is clever enough, as well as the military council, they know there is no chance unless they have in the mind to erect the election, which the Egyptian people will never accept. The only explanation for that is just he tried to create a protection for himself by being a candidate. Even if he failed, that make him feel legitimate that he's free from any accusation. Because Omar Sulaiman was a part, actually was a big part of supporting La Mubarak system. And he's a connection chain between whatever Mubarak does as the agents for the Zionist state and the Egyptian government. And he holds a lot of being in the intelligence, holds a lot of secret, creating that illusion as a protection by being a candidate and even fail.
Right.
He think that will protect him legally.
Mr. Peter Eyre, what our guests are saying, especially our guest in Beirut was referring there, that Soleiman's entrance into this political competition is more about the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood has given out a candidate. Would you agree with this analysis that the US and Israel or the Western supporters of the former regime are now worried about the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood and that's why they've persuaded him to make this move?
Yes. I mean, in as far as the voting bank is concerned, if you put as many candidates forward as you can under the regulations, then obviously that person, whether he's a good man or a bad man, is going to capture so many votes. So if you've got three or four candidates that are connected with the old Mubarak regime, then they can pull their votes together and make it a very tight competition. As our other guest said from London, it's debatable whether this will be a fair election. But put everything into perspective here. There was a pact signed between Mubarak and the West and Israel that they come together as a unified body. Basically, one could say that Egypt didn't even didn't even follow its own sovereignty. It had no control over the border with Gaza, for instance. It had to approach America or Israel to see what was transiting through there. The other issue is, and this is off the topic a little bit, but it's very important, that under Mubarak's regime, with the Israelis, they were selling natural gas to Israel at below cost price. There's got to be some dramatic changes in this country, and the West has got to butt out and let democracy prevail.
Yes, and just referring to that gas deal, Omar Suleiman himself is considered one of the major players in that gas deal that's become controversial now. Our guest in Beirut, Professor Wakim, what is it about the Muslim Brotherhood basically that is worrying the West? We've seen a lot of reports and a lot of officials from the West saying that the Muslim Brotherhood is a radical movement, that if it attains power, it's going to be even more radicalized and this is going to be dangerous for Egypt. What do they mean by that?
Actually, for the Americans, they don't want that one actor takes over power by himself, whether it's the military council or the Muslim Brothers or any other party. They just want to play this game of divide and rule, to have too many, let's say, parties in Egypt where they can play on the contradictions between them in order to keep Egypt under American control. In the beginning, they had this, let's say, vision for Egypt where the military council would uphold real power and the Muslim Brothers would will have, like, the, let's say, they will have a sort of power, mainly in the parliament, but this turned out to be a bit unrealistic, especially after the legislative elections when the Muslim Brothers took over 40% of the parliament seats and the Salafi groups took another 20 or 25%. So this made the Islamists in general in a big majority in the parliament. So for the Americans, if the Muslim Brothers and their Salafi allies will be able to take over power and in Egypt and brush aside the military council, it will be Egypt will be less manipulative by the Americans, in spite of the fact that the Americans know that they have developed good relations with the Muslim Brothers since a long time. And we need here to differentiate between Al-Qaeda on one hand and the Muslim Brothers. Mm-hmm. There is a big difference, and there was never a mix-up between the two sides.
Mr. Ghanem, what's being raised a lot now in a lot of reports, mainly in the mainstream media, is they've been saying that the Muslim Brotherhood is under the danger of becoming radicalized, as I said earlier. We've been hearing Mr. Suleiman, for instance, himself saying that the Muslim Brotherhood is monopolistic and it's trying to monopolize power. Basically, what's your response to these kinds of accusations that are made about the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, this is the old voice where you try to suppress the Islamic voice in general, whatever it is, the Muslim Brotherhood or any other section. Now, after the revolution, and particularly in general in the area, which we call the Arab Spring, there is a new phase, how to deal with the political Islam. Muslim Brotherhood has created Hizb al-Adala as a party, and that party not restricted to Muslim Brotherhood member only, but it has a Christian, it has the whole different section from the Egyptian people. Dominating is nothing has been said by the Muslim Brotherhood or by Hizb al-Adala. We have been elected fair and square. And now Egypt has passed the dictatorship age and phase to a democratic process. And we have to respect the democratic tools. When the Egyptian people have said their word and given their trust to Hizb al-Adala, Hizb al-Hurriya wal-Adala, and they are trust the Muslim Brotherhood. And in general, the political Islam is the general environment in Egypt and the Middle East. Neither America can deny that or can afford not to deal with it in a respectable way. And for the United States or the American political tools, they don't have friends. They said that. They have interest. And to balance that interest, they must deal with political Islam in the area with mutual interest. I know there is an important position in international politics for Egypt to play. I know the Zionist state is one of the biggest problems in the world and in the area, but it has to be dealt delicately between all the factors in the area. Otherwise, we push in the area toward undesirable circumstance.
Peter Eyre, some say that Omar Suleiman's candidacy at this point in time for Egypt might appeal to those Egyptians hoping for an end to political instability. And he himself was also quoted as saying that, "I'm going to restore stability in Egypt and I'm going to bring the stability that the Egyptians want." Now, why do you think these comments are being said? What is it about Suleiman that is going to bring political stability to Egypt? And what is it about other candidates that's not going to work towards stability?
Well, I guess the first question I would ask is, who's actually making the statements about Suleiman? Because this sounds like typical Western propaganda. The people had a revolution. Mubarak was taken out of office. They were not offered democracy. And so the military played along as the puppet government for the West, and he's still receiving substantial amounts of money from people like Clinton and what have you. So you've got this scenario where what we are told to believe could actually be totally false to how the people think themselves. We then have the other issue about, our guests talked about radicalization, and there was talk about terrorism, what have you, and a reference was made there to Al-Qaeda. Please understand that there is really no terrorists in the world. There is no Al-Qaeda. There never has been. This is just a pseudonym that was presented to legalize a war. I can remember when Israel themselves were terrorists, and Livni's father was one of the instigators. The PLO was once called a terrorist group, and now we've got Hamas. I prefer to call it more freedom fighters than terrorism. There has been no incident on Western soil as a result of any Islamic movement. It's all a false flag. And the sooner we get down to letting Egypt run its own business and let the West butt out completely, it's got tremendous wealth offshore, let it cut off the gas to Israel and start making real money from the source that belongs to the people of Israel, Egypt.
Peter Eyre, Middle East consultant, joining us there on the line from London. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us, Peter. A big thank you as well to our guest in Beirut, Professor Jamal Wakim with the Lebanese International University, and also our guest live with us from London, Muslim Brotherhood representative in the UK, Mr. Mohammed Ghanem. Thank you very much for being with us. From me, Homa Lizgi, and the rest of the team here in Tehran, until our next programme, it's goodbye.